Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. I just wanted to announce that I love you guys. I love the assembly we are becoming. I love the community we are becoming. I truly appreciate all of your ears. Even as far as back as my first show, before it was canceled. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for your subscription. Thank you for the comments. Thank you for the rating. You are truly appreciated by me. Someone in the comment section of the last episode talked about neighbors. And what do we do with somebody that's not our neighbor? Well, Yahushua made that plain of who is our actual neighbor. Luke 10, I'll start at verse 25 and down. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Rabbi, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the Torah? How read you? And he answering said, You shall love Yahuwah Elohaka with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said unto him, You have answered right. This do, and you shall live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Yahushua, And who is my neighbor? And Yahushua answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, with its Shomeroni, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. Which now of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Yahushua unto him, Go and do likewise. That is who our neighbors are. Those who are willing to show mercy and grace to the homeless, to those in need, widows, fatherless children. Those are our neighbors. That is who we love. I know it says love our enemies, but you ain't got to pronounce that you love your enemies. You don't. Not even Yahushua did that. Yahushua didn't come across the Pharisees and Sadducees and say, you know what? I love you. He reproved them, reproached them, corrected them, but he never said, hey, I loved you. You can love someone internally and not have to show it eternally. But you can also keep your distance, especially in these times. People are trying to abuse love because they have not felt love themselves. There's so many broken people on social media. A lot of victim shaming, a lot of victimhood, a lot of complaining. And it's all coming from people who don't know how to pick proper love. That's it. Because they didn't grow up in a house where they had good examples of love. Sadly, but that's the truth. And so they're out trying to absorb the love that's in the community. In the community at this point, and I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about the community of the world. They're all sharing the same misery. So they're formulating their love based on algorithm, based on the horror stories of those who don't know how to use discernment to pick proper love. You have to watch out for these people. Mind you, loving them is understanding why they are the way they are. But you cannot interject yourselves and what Yah has separated. If he has separated you from certain people who love the way the community loves, let that be it. Do not fight against what Yah has separated you from. Do not tear up your ruach or your soul trying to love someone who at that time is not meant to be loved by you. You are called to do the works of Yahushua, do the works of Yah. Perfect those first. Then you'll be able to have a ruach strong enough to deal with somebody who is not lovable. That is my advice. Now, while I'm on Works and Luke 6, 46 through 49, it says, "And why call ye me Adonai, Adonai, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Now, the parable that he uses for this sturdy house, he didn't say that it would never meet inclement weather. He never said that this house that is built upon a rock won't be tried. In this walk, you will be tried. Now, how your house is built, it all depends on you. The Most High has given us verses, line upon line, precept upon precept, scriptures that are help build the foundation of our houses on rock. It's almost like if you think of the three little pigs, or the pigs and the big bad wolf. I think religion is built out of hay. That's what I think. I think religion is building their foundation out of hay. And those who are lukewarm, those who are going back and forth into this world, knowing the difference between scripture and religion, but still drowning in vice, they have built their house with sticks. And of course, you know, the last one that he couldn't huff and puff and blow down. But also that wolf, even though he knew the foundation, he knew that the material of the house was made of bricks, he still attempted to blow. So the Yahusha saying, being, you know, building your house on the foundation of rock, didn't even say that the water wouldn't touch it. So it's going to be tried. The materials in which you built the foundation of your house will be tried. And he says, but he that hears and does not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Like I said, I laugh when I see posts online about America is a Christian nation. And the very first quote-unquote Christians, Protestants, were Freemasons. So basically, the house is built on absolutely nothing. It's built on mud. It's built on weak foundation. And the Most High is getting ready to blow everything away. That's why I laugh and no longer argue with Gentile Christians about following the law, statutes, commandments. I really don't. It's laughable because they all say the same things. They say the same dogma, same traditions, same man-made doctrines. Oh, the Torah was nailed to the cross. We don't have to do that anymore. Paul said, there is no difference between Jew and Greek. But if you go to Exodus 11, there is a difference that will be between Egypt, second Egypt, and the Israelites and Yashareel. It is a difference. There is no difference when we become one assembly, one body, doing the same things, guarding the same commandments. That is one body. That is where there's no difference between Jew and Greek. But between Christian and Israelite, or Christian and a called out assembly Gentile, there is a big difference. And they don't even know that they sound just like who Titus 1 and 16 was talking about. They profess that they know Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, which is the working of the Torah, reprobate. It's really not that hard to do anything in scripture that the Most High wants us to do, that show that we are supposed to show him that we love him. He said that his rules, his laws, his statutes, his ordinances are not grievous. It's all about remembering to do them, really. Especially when we walked into this system blind. And we're just now trying to put pieces together, learning how we can do things better. We are not, we're not masters of this craft yet. But the Most High is merciful, knowing that we are still babes in this walk, or some of us are babes in this walk. But if you don't like to do something based on you just don't like to do it because it's something a tradition told you not to do, that is a big problem. Because it's not what the Most High said not to do. He says to do this. He even mentions in Yirmiyahu 6 to return to the ancient paths. Yirmiyahu 6, 15 through 19. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. Were you guys ashamed at first before you came into this truth? Were you ashamed to do Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day? Were you ashamed? No. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at that time. That I visit them, they shall be cast down, says Yahuwah. This is why he has called us back to feel shamed and return from our wicked way to a righteous way. And most people don't think these feast days that were given by the Roman Catholic Church as something wicked. Now, Christians believe movies like Sinners and Him is demonic, but they don't think Thanksgiving, which is a holiday based on the eradication of another race, another nation, through lies and deceit, they don't think that's wicked. Why? Because it's been traditionalized to be a time of family get-together. Christmas, they don't see it as demon worship because it's a jolly fat man coming down the chimney with gifts, making our children feel happy, full of that holiday spirit, that they're good. They're on the good list and not the naughty list. We all been through that holiday spirit where we knew around December we needed to act good for our parents. Because it's, especially if you have black parents, their favorite thing is to hold Christmas over top of your head and then threaten you if you don't act right, you're not getting any Christmas gifts, or if Santa was not getting anything if you don't act right. That would usually hold us for a good month of December. That would hold us. But at that time, we didn't see anything demonic about it because we all looked at it as we're getting something from our parents, or we're getting something from an invisible man we will never see, but we known for him to come down our chimney and lay gifts under the tree. We felt good knowing that we're going to get something or get the things that we wanted. Vanity has a way of blinding you to what's really demonic. Truly. Now, all of us are vain by some degree. Vanity and moderation, I think, is okay. It's even in scripture that man should love his woman in the vanity of his heart, the vanity of his mind, and the woman of his youth, as mentioned in Ezra somewhere. But vanity is not a bad thing in moderation. When it gets carried away, that is when it's a bad thing. And you start to blind yourself and mistake your doings as something that the Most High would like only because it makes you feel good. Only because you think by your own power, by your own will and pleasure, that this is what you're doing to exalt and praise and worship the Heavenly Father outside of His Torah and think He will accept it. And we skip over verses that says that He is no respecter of persons, that He cannot be bought with gifts. So you're really wasting your breath. And you should tell your pastors, you should tell your family members who are getting ready to gather around the dinner table, they are wasting their breath giving thanks on a day that the Most High has not ordained in Scripture. Thus says Yahuwah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If I want rest for my souls, I would want to find out the ancient way. Yirmiyahu 18:15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Because of this, the land is desolate, a perpetual hissing to everyone that passes thereby, an astonishment. So it seems to me like the ancient paths that are in the Torah, mentioned in Scripture, is what is going to save us in the second Exodus. I believe the first Exodus will be much like the second Exodus. So you would have to go back to the book of Yasher to see what went on, if we can find out where the ancient paths started. Yasher 79, verse 43 to 51. When the king saw this thing, he ordered the sefer of records that related to the kings of Mitzrayim to be brought. And they brought the sefer of records, the chronicles of the kings of Mitzrayim, in which all the idols of Mitzrayim were inscribed. For they thought of finding therein the name of Yahuwah, but they found it not. And Pharaoh said to Moshe and Aaron, behold, I have not found the name of your Elohim written in the sefer, and his name I know not. And the counselors and wise men answered the king, we have heard that the Elohim of the Hebrews is a son of the wise, the son of ancient kings. And Pharaoh turned to Moshe and Aaron and said unto them, I know not Yahuwah, whom you have declared, neither will I send his people. So this is the Egyptians, the Pharaoh, and his counselors thinking Yahuwah was a son of kings, son of some wise men. And they answered and said to the king, Yahuwah Elohim of Elohim is his name. And he proclaimed his name over us from the days of our ancestors and sent us, saying, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, send my people that they may serve me. Now, therefore, send us that we may take a journey for 3 days in the wilderness. There we may sacrifice to him. For from the days of our going down to Mitzrayim, he has not taken from our hands either ascending smoke offering, oblation, or sacrifice. I say again, he has not taken from our hands either ascending smoke offering, oblation, or sacrifice. These are the ancient paths. This is what Abraham did, Yitzchak did, Yasharel did. They did this before the Torah. Yahusha in the New Testament, if that makes you feel good, said that the prophets who are also obeying these statutes and ordinances were mentioned to be in the heaven with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So if I'm going to find out the ancient paths, I'm going to go to the men who were successful in doing what pleased the Most High. So if you go to Jubilees and Jasher, it talks about how Abraham would make altar for Yahuwah, burnt offerings for Yahuwah, ascending smoke offerings for Yahuwah, drink offerings for Yahuwah. The same thing was passed down to Yitzchak, and that was passed down to Yaakov Yasharel. How Yasharel set up a pillar of stone for Yahuwah. This is the ancient paths. This is the ancient way. If you will not send us, his anger will be kindled against you, and he will smite Mitzrayim either with the plague or with the sword. This is the setup for that nation to be destroyed. That was the setup. The Most High knew, and he didn't even want Pharaoh to release the Israelites so easily. He needed to make a point. Why? Because the first captivity has to be like the last captivity. So the reason why he set this up in motion, because he knew throughout all the captivities we went through, we were not going to be obedient to his word. Even after seeing miracles and plagues, we would not be obedient to his word. So that's why we ended it up in the last captivity. And Pharaoh said to them, "Tell me now his power and his might." And they said to him, "He created the heavens and earth, the seas and all their fish, He formed the light, created the darkness, caused rain upon the earth and watered it, and made the herbage and grass to sprout. He created man and beast and the animals of the forest, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and by his mouth they live and die. Surely he created you in your mother's womb and put you the breath of life and reared you and placed you upon the royal throne of Mizraim. And he will take your breath and soul from you and return you to the ground whence you were taken." And the anger of the king was kindled at their words. And he said to them, "But who amongst all the Elohim of nations can do this? My river is my own, and I have made it for myself." The very plague after that was him turning the waters of Egypt into blood. Through the boasting and worshiping of idols, the Most High hit them with plagues that all represented the ancient Egypt gods or idols. I'm not going to say Most High is petty, but that's righteous petty, is to use their words against them. He did the same thing with King Nebuchadnezzar when he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take and destroy from Jerusalem. And he had to be humbled. Soon as King Nebuchadnezzar, as is mentioned in Daniel, opened his mouth and said, "Well, you know, this kingdom is mine. I'm a god in this kingdom. No one can stop me." And soon as those words left his mouth, a voice came out and said, you have said it. It came out of your mouth. So now you're going to wallow in the ground like a beast. So if you look at this nation now, it's getting ready to boast. And you have to let them boast. They're boasting right now about their color. They're boasting about their traditions. They're boasting about their religions. And you got to let them. It is the setup for what Yah is going to do. It's the strong delusion that's going to allow them to fall into the snare and pit. So going back to what I said in Luke 6 about works, the working of the Torah, even the little things, is what the Most High wants to prove us on. Truly, if you're trying to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, you must do what the Heavenly Father asks. I don't understand how y'all could be in a relationship. I'm talking about you babes in this walk who don't know which way to go. I can't understand how you can have a relationship in this world and know exactly what your partner needs, exactly what your partner wants, and you throw even a little razzle-dazzle in there and surprise them with things you think they want and think they need, just to see what happens. And you are blessed, or you feel good that your surprises worked, that your girl loves you more because of these surprises, or your partner loves you more because of these surprises. How do y'all who owe your entire life not being destroyed by this world, but given repentance, long-suffering, mercy, and grace, feel like you don't need to do anything else to please the person that gave you this gift of salvation? It's really weird. It was the same problem that the Israelites had when they wanted the king. They just wasn't satisfied with the Yahuwah ruling over them. They needed something they could see. And the problem with a lot of people's faith is that they don't see it, they're not going to pay attention to it. It's hard for people to love what they cannot see. They need images. This is the reason why you see Jesus all over the place, the Grecian Jesus Christ all over the place. They need an image to see. This is the reason why the Most High did not allow, like some other nations that have busts of their prophets or their wise men, that they have busts of statues of. There's a reason why we're set apart from that nation and we don't need paintings, pictures, Like IUIC made it a point to go to Russia just so you can see the iconography of brown-skinned saints, brown-skinned prophets. They made it a big deal that Vladimir Putin talked about how the iconography of Christianity, really, that the prophets were brown. You shouldn't need an image. You shouldn't. It should be a stepping stone, like, oh, okay, this is the truth, so I know what the lie is going to be. But other than that, it shouldn't be like, oh, it's about race. It's about color. If the Most High wanted it to be about race and color, he would have came out and said, I made these black Israelites black because this is what I wanted to do. Now, mind you, he alluded to even his own skin complexion. He alluded to it, but he didn't make that a point. Whenever Revelation says he had jasper or sardonyx look upon him. Or feet, burnished brass. I mean, it's descriptions, but it's not, oh, that's all we have to go on. So doing these works, even if it's the little things, is what's going to please the Most High Yahuwah. Period. And we should be as if we're coming into, we're in a relationship after cheating multiple times. That's how we should feel in this relationship. Now, I'm not saying feel like that all the time. I'm simply saying when we first turned from our wicked way, we felt shame. We felt very low because we thought of all the sin. And some of us do think about the sins that we committed and transgressed against the Torah when we were ignorant in our way. Some of us still think about that, and that keeps us on an even keel. That keeps us pushing forward because we don't want to go back to that person because of the shame that we feel, the guilt that we feel. We should feel as almost somebody preparing for the bridegroom, but we are a bride that continually cheats. Have any of you taken back someone that cheated on you? And what did they do? They tried to work to get back into your good graces. If you accepted this person, if you truly loved them, and you welcomed them back, even if they didn't sleep with somebody, say if they texted somebody, or a guy friend got a little bit too close, or a homegirl got a little bit too close, that made you feel a certain way. What did you do? You would make that person feel comfortable. If you messed up or you slipped, or you kissed a girl in a club, or you kissed a guy in a club, you were drunk and you did something stupid. What would be the next thing you did if you truly loved that person, you didn't want that person to leave you? You would work your butt off. I'm talking about you cooking almost every night. You making sure you in the house at a certain time. You cuddle up, snuggle up with them all the time. You give them every intimate fantasy that they ever asked that you did not do for them. Now you doing it. You guys should know what I'm talking about. We all been in situations where we cheated, and we know in order for this person not to throw us away because we didn't want to be gotten rid of, we did all that we needed to do to stay in that house, to stay in their good graces. It should be the same way with the Most High Yahuwah. Except this isn't about a relationship where if we break up, we can find another God to go to. And that was the problem with the Israelites. Thinking that, okay, this relationship is not really fulfilling me. Let me go to something that's more fake than the real living thing that I have now. And when you look at it and think of it that way, we were stupid. Our forefathers were stupid. But the reason why you acted right after messing up because you didn't want to go nowhere else. You didn't want anyone else. It should be the same thing with the Heavenly Father. We know what happens if we go somewhere else. We've heard stories what has happened when people gone somewhere else and cheated. We know what happens. We know what will happen if we continue to cheat. So it really blows my mind that people in traditional dogma of religions don't see that and think we serve someone that's just accepting of us cheating and not feeling shame, not repenting or feeling sorry, even when people are going around online on their FYP, their timeline, telling them, hey, this is the better way. We should stop doing this because this isn't from the Most High Yahuwah. Imagine telling somebody to stop cheating. And they tell you, this person as I'm cheating on, they don't provide me with salvation, don't provide me with everlasting life, just makes me feel good. This person I'm spending money on and I'm tricking off on makes me feel good. The person that's not asking me to pay anything and work extra hard for, I want to cheat on. Y'all been in relationship with borderline narcissistic personality disordered people. So you know what I'm talking about. Either you know these people, been in relationship with these people, or you have been these type of people. And some of you right now are suffering and struggling with actually trying to worship and praise the Father as he has mentioned in scripture how to worship and praise him. It said it in Luke, what I just read in Luke 10. Love Yahuwah Elohaka with all your strength, with all your might, with all your heart, with all your soul, everything. Everything. Paul has even said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We don't know what is accepted of us. We don't know every time we give an oblation or we do a feast day if we're actually doing it the way he wants us to do it. It's that fear in us that tries through scripture to do everything right. I was thinking out loud to my wife, my Ishai, about was the holiday spirit that we felt when we were in the world, much like the spiritual feeling that the Israelites felt when it was biblical feast days? Like, I wondered that. You know how we get all giddy and uppity when it comes to the holiday season. We knew that when we were in school and that first, winter break started to hit around Thanksgiving time, we were happy. We had time off and we would go back to school. We know we ain't gonna go back to school for another 2 weeks before we have another long winter break. We felt that spirit, that holiday spirit. Everything was cheerful. Nobody was mad during the holiday spirit time. Everybody was loving. Everybody was nice. And especially being in black households, the soundtrack for the holiday spirit was just, it was unmatched. You had the Temptations with Silent Night, the CD that came out with the Temptation Christmas. Oh, we played that in my house from December damn near to January. In my mind, that set that holiday spirit off. That made you feel good. Things were colder, so you weren't outside. Nobody was divided. Everybody was in the house. The fire was crackling. The tree was up, so the house smelled like pine. It smelled sweet. Family came in and out. Your cousins, the cousins that you don't get to see all the time, they were around you more. It was that spirit. I wondered, is this the same spirit, the same feeling that the Israelites felt when they had the feast days, when Pesach was coming? Did they feel that same holiday spirit? It's so tough to feel that spirit now because we're so dislodged from each other. We're so separated and spread out. And even when we do have a couple of Israelites that do feast days together and all that, it's just still not the same because we're not in our proper land. We're not in our proper environment. It's not widely accepted throughout the world. I mean, it's going to be. But it's just not at this time, it's just not widely accepted. So especially when you are now new to these biblical feast days, it's hard to get that joy because you don't want to mess nothing up. This is fairly new to us, so we're like pouring through scripture, trying to make sure we're doing everything right. That we're doing the proper ascending smoke offering, that we're doing the right amount, that we're doing it on the right day, that we're following the right calendar. Like it's hectic because everybody's doing the different things. I yearn for that type of spirit. Like, mind you, I'm not mad or upset or sad when these biblical feast days happen. And I'm cool with just doing them with just my wife, my daughter, you know, and that's it. I'm cool with it. And sometimes I don't even have my daughter during the week that these biblical feast days fall upon. So, I mean, I'm cool doing them in my household with limited people. But I want that joy. I want that holiday spirit. I want that feeling of being surrounded by family, cousins that you don't get to see during biblical feast days, and having that same feeling, the same feeling you feel on Thanksgiving, the same feeling you feel at Christmas, that feeling, that winter feeling on biblical feast days. And mind you, these feast days are like 7 days. So just imagine at the time of the Israelites, like they were really throwing down. I'm pretty sure everybody had their little chance to bring their dish on whatever particular day, and everybody feasted and chowed down, celebrated, danced, laughed, praised, worship. Man, I know that was a vibe. I know that was a feeling. And it's a feeling when you come into this walk and you're at a certain point in this walk, that's what you truly want. That's what you truly yearn for, is that oneness, that closeness. Other than that, I didn't have too much to say. I'm going on vacation. There won't be a Sunday's episode, but I will be back next Thursday. And it has nothing to do with this holiday season. It's just, you know, wife is getting more and more pregnant. And she has sciatica too. I had sciatica, but she has sciatica. And she's struggling with, you know, trying to work out, stay fit, and also battling, you know, soreness. And certain ailments you get. You women know when you're pregnant, your body just hurt. You got to adjust because of the weight. And with her, like I said, it's just the sciatica issue is causing pain. You know, if you ever had nerve pain, you know how much that hurts. I mean, that sciatica pain is no joke. I mean, I had it because I was playing tennis. And that nerve just was pinched. And it felt horrible. I get all that pain radiated down your leg. And it takes weeks for that pain to subside and do normal stuff. So I am just now getting back to normality after suffering 3 to 4 weeks in decompression therapy, trying to get rid of the pressure on my nerve. But if you're a babe in this walk and you're going into this holiday season and you do not know what to do, this is a point where you choose for yourself Yahuwah or the world. And he's watching you to see what you will do. Matter of fact, he knows what you will do. It's on you if you will get the blessing that he has stored up for you or nothing but misery and learning through hardship to get to these blessings. That is truly on you. People talk about and complain about free will. Oh, free will this, free will that. We have to have free will and then get mad at the Most High when he uses his free will, his righteousness and judgment, to not lift a finger to help you when he has laid out what he likes and does not like. I can't stand that argument about free will. So use your free will to do exactly what the Most High knows you're going to do when you have been introduced to his way. Tell your family, hey, I don't think I can make it. We don't do those biblical feast days. Let people talk about you. Let them create a family group chat and roast you. Who cares? Be consistent. That's what it's about. Being consistent. If you are consistent, consistency trumps insults, mockery, and reproach by people who are just ignorant of the truth. That's it. You don't even have to defend yourself when you're consistent. For example, if you have people insulting you because you choose not to be around family around certain times when you know it's a pagan feast day or a feast day that's not instituted in scripture, they are going to insult you and saying you think you're too good for your family. They think, oh, you want to be the black sheep forever. And they talk about you and whatever that and all that. They have to do that every single day while you're consistent with your walk. And after a while, their insults and mocking you will turn on them, because then it makes it seem like they are obsessed with you when you are doing nothing but being consistent. Imagine you posting the truth or talking about the truth or living in the truth or walking the truth. They have to get it to match your consistency. Without much effort, they have to get up every single day to find ways to mock and talk about you, to the point they got to do it to people who know you. And after a while, they don't want to hear about you no more. So the gossiping, the insults, and the mockery stops. And then they're left with doing nothing but watching you. They know now that I can't get this person out of their consistent path. So now I done the whole every single day insulting them, mocking them, gossiping about them, to now the people I'm telling this to don't want to hear it anymore. So now I got to wait and watch to see if this person is going to stumble. And if I catch them stumbling, then my insults and my mockery will be much more valuable to those who want to hear it. And when you don't stumble, and when you are very consistent, even if you stumble or you hit a snare here and there, yeah, they will come out full force. But all that does is turn people to your growth. I haven't met anyone online or off it that'll mock you or insult you because of growth. If they mock you or insult you, they have to use something that's in your past. But if you come out ahead of time and say, this is what I did in my past, this is my new path now, boom. So when you say this, either online or offline, and your enemy, the person who's insulting you or mocking you, tries to catch you when you're in a snare and stumbling block, they defend you without you needing to defend yourself. I think a lot of you are scared or in this hermit shell. I'm not really truly doing what the Most High has called you to do because you're scared of what people will say. You're scared of what they will do. You're scared if they turn their back on you. But you have to ask yourself, are you much better than Yahusha that went through the same things with his own family, within his own household, amongst his own nation? We are no better than he is. So why not walk exactly as he's walked during that time when he was in his righteousness, in his uprightness, following a path that no one knew? So when somebody tries to insult you, the consistency is your defense. Because then people who are watching you that truly love you, they defend you. I've seen it happen. I stop answering people in the comment section when they come up about my past because people are like, oh, he already talked about that. He already spoken on that. I've seen people get so tired of people who keep, or it could be bots, keep using the same insult. They're like, yo, why are you so obsessed with him? Like, why are you over here if that's what you think of him? That's the consistency that helps defeat the words of your enemies. That's all it is. Some of y'all get scared, but I'm telling you, just be consistent. It takes a lot more for them to have the energy to insult you and mock you than you, who are already on this path of righteousness and uprightness. It's already easy for you to continue walking this path because you decided in your Ruach and you decided to the Heavenly Father that this is the path you wanted. Like the Most High said, his commandments are not grievous. So it should be an easy walk for you. after a while. It should be, you should be set, solidified in his Yeshua, that you don't need to go left or to the right, that no one can knock you off this path. And start that path today. Start that path during the winter holiday spirit of these pagan feast days built on ritualistic murder or ritualistic demon worship. Draw that line in the sand right now. Let them talk. Where are you going? You're not even going to hear their voices anyway. Show the Most High Yahuwah that you weren't woken up in vain. Yahusha said, there are many called, but few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Be that few. Do not be that many. Do not be the multitude. Scared because you so worried about what people will say and think and do. When you leave this earth, none of the people that speak against you or even speak for you will be going into the grave with you. You go alone. When you stand at the feet of judgment, it won't be anybody's voice that the Most High Yahuwah will hear except for yours. We take nothing with us out of this life but our deeds and our words. Not one idle word that's uttered before Yahuwah in this world is in vain. Not one idle word. Look at the Chadwick Boseman situation. He just recently got his star, his Walk of Fame. They made it a point to mention that he is the 2,828th star on the Walk of Fame. He died August 28th. That's them mocking his death with the 8 and 28. His last movie was Ma Rainey's, I think it was Black Bottom or Bottom Something. And he played Levy. And there was a scene where he was blaspheming the Most High. Now we look at it as, oh, he just did this for his art. But I haven't seen any script or I haven't seen any actor or any scene in any movie that truly blasphemed the way he blasphemed in that movie. And it wasn't even a movie that you saw on the big screen. It was on Netflix. So he didn't even blaspheme to where it was on the big screen, where he had a red carpet for it, where he had a campaign for it. They did it sneakingly. If this world is supposed to hate the Most High Yah, why not broadcast this scene? Why not make it a point? You can't even find this scene online. And you could pretty much find every movie scene online. But this particular scene of him blaspheming God, you got to have somebody screen record it or videotape it for even to end up online. And that's how I got it when I posted it on my Instagram. Somebody else recorded it. But you thought these people were so strong and so for Satan, for Sir Lucifer, that these cowards went to Netflix to put this movie on and then tried to hide this scene, which was his last movie, because they wanted you to fall for worshiping him. If you were so proud to be a Freemason, proud to be a Luciferian, proud to be a Satanist, that should have been a scene that you die on. And be glad you died on it. But if you all remember that scene, oh, it would make you cringe. It really did. It'll make you almost feel sorry for him that he was put in a situation to do that scene. But the Most High probably already knew he was going to do that scene. And the reason why he was hit with prostate cancer. Maybe he wouldn't even hit with prostate cancer. Maybe when you saw him being frail, they told him you need to be frail for this role. I don't know anybody just doing movie roles with the time frame and the way they wanted you to do it and be able to go through chemo and all this, having prostate cancer, an aggressive stage cancer at that, to be still be doing movies. I don't know anybody that'd be like, yeah, I'm still working this hectic schedule while having cancer and then being able to keep it from everybody. So we didn't know until we just saw him in a video, like, oh, he, you know, he got prostate cancer. Maybe he didn't even have cancer. Maybe, like I said, maybe they just wanted him to lose this weight for this role so they could sell the idea of prostate cancer. Because he wrapped that movie, I want to say a little bit before they made the connection with him and the Jackie Robinson thing. And they waited for him to die. Then that movie ended up on Netflix. So the movie was already finished. He died 2020 or something, 19 or something like that. But the movie was finished like 2017 or 18. So the movie was finished. They waited till after he died to release this movie with that blasphemy. If they released it before he died, no one would love them. So these people are cowards. Even when they don't like the Most High, are reprobates to the Most High, they still scared of the Most High. So that's that. I'll see you guys next Thursday. Whatever path you on, continue on the path, continue on the ancient path, or find the ancient path, or find the ancient way. And if this is your first months of holiday spirit, months of holiday feasting that you're trying to separate yourself from, I wish you well. I pray for you. I wish you strength. I wish the Most High will give you the ability to walk away, turn your phones off, or put them on do not disturb, and just let them roast you. They have to roast you every single day for the rest of your life if you choose this path. So you might as well start now. You might as well make it hard for them to continue to keep roasting you when you're in your uprightness and in your righteousness. I love you all.